Now we come to the prophetic section of Luke's gospel, what would normally correspond to the Olivet discourse in Matthew and Mark. But actually, there is a similarity, but there's also a contrast. And it seems to me that these questions that were put to him that Matthew gives us, when shall these things be, one stone not left upon another? What is the sign of the end of the age, and what is the sign of his coming? That you have just a little different construction here in Dr. Luke's gospel, and that probably he spoke on this on several occasions, and certainly toward the end of his ministry he did. And what we probably have here is he answered the first questions of the disciple in Luke's account, and then later they came on the Mount of Olives and asked him in detail. Then he gave the more formal and complete statement. Be that as it may, however, Luke deals with one of the most practical aspects, and there's no mystery or speculation as to his meaning, because most of Luke's record is no longer prophecy, it's history. It's been fulfilled. After all, prophecy is the mold into which history is poured, and there's already been some pouring done here. With that in mind, let's come to this section. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Now, compared to the wealth of that temple, and it was a wealthy temple, her gift didn't amount to very much. Frankly, it didn't. You heard the 2 little old coppers that she dropped in actually didn't do very much in the upkeep of the temple. But our Lord doesn't measure your giving by that. He measures it not by what you give, but what you keep for yourself. That's a different way. You know, a great many people say, my, look how much he gives to the Lord's work. The Lord doesn't look at that. The Lord looks, my, look how much he's keeping for himself. And that is the way God measures it. That, again, is my reason for believing that today we're not under the tithe. That's what you give. It's what you keep for yourself. And that's grace giving. There are a great many people today that ought to be giving more than a tenth to the Lord the way that he's blessed them. One man told me if I only gave a tenth to the Lord, he said I'd feel like I was stealing from him. And probably would be. And he gives a great deal more, though, by the way. Now, our Lord looked, therefore, at that. I find a great many people relative to our radio program, and let me be very practical about this. They send in a dollar or two, and they say, well, this is not very much, Dr. McGee, and we can't help you very much. Did you know that it's those that are giving the dollar or two that keeps the radio on the air? That's the reason I'm on the air, is because of givers like that. Now, we have very few people. You see, I don't appeal to the rich for some reason. I wish I knew how you can, but I don't. And as a result, why, we have a great company of $1 and $2 givers. And they give regularly, and that's what keeps the radio going. And when you look at our radio bill and look at the dollar, you say, well, that's not much. No, that's not much, but when you got a whole army of people that are doing that, it's a great deal more. And frankly, I'd like to have it that way. I appreciate the good givers, and I appreciate the good givers who are small givers also, because God's looking at the sacrifice, and it's the little giver that generally is making the real sacrifice. I think this is a marvelous thing. And by the way, next Sunday morning, when the treasurer of the church may say, my, doesn't Mr. So-and-so give a whole lot to the Lord's work? Well, what does God say? Now, he's looking at what you're keeping for yourself.